All right, you're back in the DFSR. It's an NFL podcast. It's Tuesday. It's December 18th. I almost said Monday. It's Tuesday, December 18th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
Oh, we're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com and DFSR.com/deals is where you're going to go to get a free 7-day trial to our projection system. Still some time left to get in on NFL. 2 weeks left in the regular season. We're going to go back and look at week 15 and some craziness leading into week 16. There's a lot to break down from the week that was and kind of how we tackle things going forward. But it's all covered under our premium package, dfsr.com/deals. Optimal lines for FanDuel and DraftKings, NFL, NBA, NHL, all under one subscription package. So go check that out, dfsr.com/deals, and you will get started. Buddy, week 15 is in the books. It was a weird week, man. We're going to break down some of the injury stuff that we need to break down. There's a lot of running back things that we're going to need to kind of clear away before we get into week 16. But when we get this late in the season, how concerned are we with teams who have clearly packed it in? I can go through a list of some of those teams, as opposed to ones that still maybe aren't in it, but still seem to be fighting, and then teams get in the playoff race. Like, do we need to start tiering these teams in terms of like motivation to keep playing, like when it comes to making DFS lineups?
Yeah, we're probably getting close to me dusting off my annual Week 17 article where I talk about how we are trying to interpret what teams' plans are right now, because this is really the time of year where stuff starts getting weird and wild. And I won't ever totally understand the psychology of this, because like if you're the Raiders, your season's been over, right?
Right.
And by and large, teams are somewhat sane in that regard. Like the Raiders, understanding that their season is over, will keep experimenting and hopefully keep playing the players they perceive to be their real players. But that's not always the case. Teams can do all sorts of crazy stuff, sitting quarterbacks in the second half, resting star running backs or wide receivers. So yeah, it's definitely the time of year where you want to look at those standings. You want to be prioritizing teams that are playing for something, particularly teams that are playing for the right to a playoff berth or not. I think the NFL actually incentivizes this really well, where like we've seen plenty of times where the eighth seed or, you know, just the bottom seeds just go right there to the Super Bowl and even win occasionally. So yeah, I think it's an interesting time for fantasy. The decisions are a little trickier. There's going to be a lot of injury opportunity, it looks like, coming up for next week. So it's going to be less about, we've seen a little of this the last few weeks, but it's going to be less about making sure you have the one punt guy in, making sure you pick the right ones. So yeah, it should be interesting decisions all around.
All right, let's go and look at some of the stuff that happened in week 15. I want to talk about a couple decisions we made leading into lineup lock that both some of them worked, some of them didn't, and then we can break down some of the individual performances. But I want to start with, you know, we were sitting there at about, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes to lock, and kind of like just trying to decide between guys like Lamar Jackson and Dak Prescott. That was
Ben
one of Dalvin Cook and Jalen Samuels was kind of a decision we were making. Ben Roethlisberger. One thing that we bucked our system on this week, and I'm wondering about, you know, if this is something we don't usually do this, but we noticed that we were kind of way over the total on the Dallas game. Like from our projection standpoint, like we add up the projected. Some people model from Vegas and go backwards. We kind of do it the other way. We ground up and then kind of see where we fall in line with Vegas. And we noticed that we were like way over on what the Dallas projected points were compared to Vegas, and we almost never ignore that, and we did this time to prioritize guys like Dak. I mean, Zeke was chalk anyway, and the guys like Amari Cooper, even Michael Gallup.
Cooper was chalk too. Yeah. It was really coming down to Dak, and I think the reason for this, you know, we were looking at mostly the decision, and it was still wound up being really close. I think Lamar Jackson wound up being in our second overall lineup, and the lineup I played half of my cash game lineups in. And the reason, I think, was we also felt like we just didn't trust Vegas's total on the Baltimore-Tampa Bay game. And I think that ultimately winds up looking pretty good, right? Like the offense has really struggled in Baltimore. You know, there was that downpour. I think the Vegas implied total for Baltimore was like 27 and a quarter, 26 and three quarters. So they scored just 20 points. Tampa Bay came in under two. I think the big thing, and so you can talk about Dak definitely coming in. I mean, they obviously just came in under the Vegas total. They just played bad and didn't get there.
Yeah.
You know, like that'll just happen. But that happened also in the Pittsburgh New England game too. And this was just a week where, like, the big weirdness around this week was actually around quarterbacks underperforming. I think the only quarterback who saw double digit ownership percentage in cash games who actually wound up being pretty solid was Lamar Jackson. You know, he wound up getting there to some degree on the back of his 95 yards rushing. And it was basically like, you know, I mean, Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger, both of those guys had low teens points, just terrible for the game with by far the highest implied total. Dak, who we played alongside of 14% of the field, scored just 6 fantasy points. Drew Brees was terrible. There was still Cam Newton scored 5 fantasy points. There were a lot of, but he wasn't on the main slate though, was he? Yeah. But nonetheless, there were a lot of really good quarterbacks who did legitimately nothing. The highest scoring quarterback on the week was Matt Ryan with 25. And then, you know, it was like Sam Darnold and Josh Allen and guys like that. So, yeah, weird week for quarterback play for sure.
Yeah, and I think we're not going to have, I mean, that's going to be some of the question mark leading in to this week as well as where we land on some of the quarterbacks. I'm not all that. The quarterback play from this week kind of ends up being just sort of a throwaway to me. There's not much I'm going to take from some of these performances. I mean, you like to see the young guys that do pretty well, like Darnold and Josh Allen. One interesting thing that we're going to have to keep an eye on here regarding quarterbacks going into Week 16 is that the Packers opened as 3.5-point road favorites against the Jets, and that line instantly dropped to a pick 'em, which actually makes me wonder if Vegas thinks Aaron Rodgers is going to sit out this week. That line instantly corrected. Like within 3 hours of it being posted, it had gone down to a pick 'em. And I don't think there's any way that game is a pick 'em unless Vegas is uncertain, or someone out there, people are uncertain about Rodgers' where he's going to land, because they were eliminated from the playoffs this week. And I don't know if the Green Bay's plan is just to save him with nothing to play for. There's like no records or anything he's going for. So these are just the kind of little things that we need to kind of keep an eye on. Vegas sometimes can inform you about what the general consensus is around a player's availability. And the only position in the NFL that affects lines that much is quarterback. No one else is even close. Like if you look at a Giants line, when Beckham is playing as opposed to being out, that line dropped by like 1.5 or something like that. Like not even, maybe just a point. Running backs doesn't change at all if a guy's ruled out. The only guy really that can upend a Vegas line is a quarterback. So going to keep an eye on that. I mean, I'm not seeing a ton that I'm taking away from quarterback this week. Like I said, the young guys were pretty
good. No, that's it. I think you don't want to get too crazy with a one-game sample for guys that we have a whole season's worth of sample. I think Jackson's an interesting one to continue to keep an eye on because he's now at the end of that 5-game stretch where Baltimore just had the softest possible matchups against opposing defenses. So given that run is over now and Jackson was basically exactly the same in every given week, I'm probably going to be a bit more bearish on him going forward. You know, I think the good times, the fast times of playing Lamar Jackson at quarterback for DFS might be over for me.
I was just trying to find where they are on the main slate, and I wonder if they're just like an off board game. I'm not seeing them for some reason. Okay, I'm not seeing him in our projections either. I'll look into that in a second. But I think the running back situation is really where I want to look, because this was a week where we saw some somewhat predictable stuff. Guys that we thought were going to have good games basically did. Dalvin Cook was very highly owned. He had a huge game. Joe Mixon, we were all over. He was came a little underowned on FanDuel. He crushed it. And then,
there were a lot of options on FanDuel. I mean, we saw Dalvin Cook with 70% ownership. And Zeke with like 65% ownership, and that just didn't leave a lot for the rest of the pretty decent plays.
Yeah, and then we see that Pittsburgh just has had, you know, three Pro Bowl running backs on the roster this entire season. Like, it hasn't mattered. Like, Le'Veon Bell was Pro Bowler, then James Conner was kind of shaping up to be a Pro Bowler, and then Jalen Samuels just shows that maybe they just don't need, it doesn't matter who plays for them in terms of running back. Yeah. These guys can catch passes. He ran a ton of counters. It does look like Conner is going to come back this week. Do you think, I have a ton of running back notes, but I'll start here. Do you think the Connor coming back, was Jalen Samuels good enough that we've seen the Pittsburgh just stick to the plan of, we just want to play one running back, that's our plan. If you're the guy, you're the guy, that's it. But do you think Samuels is good enough that even if Connor came back, we wouldn't be able to just go back to Connor's old projection, which was basically RB1 sort of style usage that he'd been putting up in the past?
I mean, I think I would be fairly comfortable going back to Connor's old projection. For the most part, Samuels was very effective running the ball this week, but really wasn't last week. And last week, he was pretty solid in the passing game, but they only passed to him twice this week. So I think that you can probably pretty safely assume that Connor will be the guy. They obviously liked him going into the season. And like I said, Samuels had the one really strong game out of the backfield, but he looked really bad against Oakland, at least carrying the ball. He was effective catching the ball out of the backfield, but yeah, the carries were pretty lousy. So I would start with the assumption that if Connor had a full clean bill of health, that he would be the guy. Now, whether he'll actually have that full bill of health or not remains to be seen. He was downgraded to doubtful. I think it was just Sunday morning or on Saturday last week. So I would imagine that you could see Pittsburgh just exercise caution and use a running back by committee. But I think the long-term plan is to make Connor the guy.
And then kind of going the other way, we already, Ito Smith has been now ruled out for the season. He is done. They put him on IR. And Tevin Coleman is coming off, I think, his biggest week of the year. Yeah, he had 11 carries for 145 yards and a touchdown. He outsnapped Smith 34-29. This is the opposite of the Pittsburgh situation. We've seen it kind of doesn't matter who the Falcons have. They never want to just give one guy all of the snaps, right? Devontae Freeman goes right down. It's not just Tevin Coleman soaking up all the snaps. Now he's spitting with Ito Smith. Now they have Brian Hill there. He was in there for five snaps, carried the ball three times. The conventional wisdom you would think would say Smith is out, Coleman gets all the carries, but have we seen enough from Atlanta that we just know that's never the case for them? Like, I just don't. They're like the opposite of Pittsburgh. They seem to always just do this running back split no matter what. And I kind of just want to play Coleman anywhere, everywhere. But I'm a little concerned that this is not how they run their offense for years now.
Yeah, you don't start by playing Coleman everywhere, I don't think. I think you have to really.
Tough fade. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, he's 6,400. I get that it might be a tough fade, but when was the last time that Coleman was the actual full-on guy? Even in this game, I mean, this game was just weird because Atlanta was up 26-7 at halftime, and that could also explain Hill getting the ball. But the fact that Freeman goes down, or Smith goes down this time, Freeman went down last time, that Smith goes down, and then you see Brian Hill coming in, just gets five snaps with three carries. Coleman still only manages 11 carries over the course of the game. Why wasn't this the Coleman game? You know, why did Coleman only get one target and 11 carries in a game that Atlanta was winning by so much on all the way? You know, like, Atlanta's not playing for anything right now. What were they saving him for? I think that Atlanta just likes the running back by committee approach. I think they believe that works for them. It's an organizational philosophy that if you have two guys, and I think it probably is correct, by the way, if you have two guys, then you can keep their legs fresh and, you know, just get maximum energy, the maximum efficiency per carry, that's going to serve you in the long run. So I'm not starting from the place. I mean, I'll keep an eye on news, obviously. If there's any indication that this could be a timeshare, I'm going to run screaming from this, because at 6,400, if you're going to get 12 to 15 touches out of Coleman, you're going to be pretty disappointed.
And we've seen him struggle with that, like, lead back all every down kind of thing. Like, we would go back to earlier in the season when Freeman first went out. He carried the ball 16 times, 15 times, and 14 times. It was pretty ineffective. Right. I feel like I see Tevin Coleman highlights that make me think, oh, this guy could just run free all the time. And then there are just lots of times where he gets bottled up, has not been able to run between the tackles. So, yeah.
And by the way, that's the classic profile of the running back who can't be your every down back, the guy who can break big plays from time to time, but who by and large is just, like, you know, a third down back. And I think Coleman at this point, he is not an every down back, at least from the Falcons' perspective.
Other running back news. So the Ito Smith thing is a big one. James Conner coming back is a big one. Other stuff that we're going to need to keep an eye on. I'm going to get to some of the big games in a second because I want to get your feeling on those as well. But I want to just break down some of this injury stuff first.
Let's go.
With Fournette, I was very high on Fournette going into this week in terms of just, you know, had a good matchup, looked like he was going to carry the ball a ton. Just basically doesn't even play the second half. The organization came out and said that was the plan all along, was to kind of take a look at some of these other guys. I saw pictures of Fournette on the sidelines with his arm crossed, looking pissed. So it didn't seem like he was part of it. He doesn't seem like he knew that was part of the plan. if they want to say that was the plan, was a one game sample on that enough to just say this is a situation that can no longer be trusted? Because it did seem like he was going to be their guy, and now it just doesn't. Sometimes we don't want to take one game samples as the rule for going forward, but is that enough for you to say, okay, like, these guys are just screwing around here, we just can't, he's not going to be an every down back? Or do you think, like, the backlash is, like, they want to get him back the ball again to keep him happy? Like, this is one that I always kind of struggle with in terms of just emotions.
Yeah, that's a tricky one, man, because Fournette, we know that there have been times where he can be a high 20s carries back, and by and large, I would say just ignore it. You know, it's Jacksonville. They're not very good anyway. They might not have many games where you can really rely on the running game, but they've got Miami this week, and this could really be a game in the battle of the Hurricane Bowl. What do you call them, two Florida teams? The Gator Bowl, yeah. You know? When these teams go up against each other, you throw out the record stuff. The story of Jacksonville, Miami.
These teams probably want to throw out their records, to be honest with you.
That's what I'm saying. They do. Like, some teams do it because it's like Boston and New York, you know, the Red Sox versus the Yankees. These teams, it's just like a gentleman's agreement to throw out the record.
I take it back. I didn't realize Dolphins are actually still in the playoff race here. They're 7-7. They're actually playing for a wild card here because they're 8-6, 8-6. I think there's a chance. I think there's a scenario where they actually get in. I for some reason thought they were worse than their record.
No, they are. Well, you think they're worse than they are because they're a lot worse than they are. Right. Their point differential -79. You heard that correct. Is the third worst in the AFC. Right. You gotta love football, dude. It doesn't really matter in the long run. You win the close ones, you lose the blowouts, and it all comes out in the wash. Yeah, what a crime it would be if they made it over someone, let's say, like Baltimore. Baltimore has a better point differential than three of the division leaders right now, right, in Houston, New England, and Pittsburgh. And the fact that Miami could sneak in past them is a real crime. So,
well, on the other side of the ball, okay, so I think Fournette can't be trusted, but on the Miami side, another injury news, Frank Gore was lost for the season. He was carted off with a knee injury. And then, you know, we always have waited for Kenyon Drake to just retake the mantle of just this every down back that he was at the end of the season last year. It's so funny. So he had the most snaps for Miami last week. He had 28 snaps.
He did have the one carry.
He only carried the ball one time and caught three balls. Then with Kalen Ballage, he had 26 snaps, carried the ball 12 times, had 123 yards. He broke a huge run for a touchdown. I mean, is this another one where they're favorites, they're home favorites? It's kind of where we want to be with running backs. In the past, I would have said, oh, Frank Gore's out, Kenyon Drake all the way, and then we have this Ballage thing. Is this just another team that's just going to be committee through and through, and again, we can't trust it?
Yeah, this is going to be the all-wet-blanket podcast for me on these running back situations.
It's fine.
Normally, I think you know me, Doug. Yeah. I get excited about a cheap running back, and I'm happy to play one for the most part, but Miami, man, like if it wasn't Kenyon Drake last week, I don't know how you can trust that it will be anyone this week, so... I guess I'll wait for some news. I mean, if they come out and were to say, like, Kalen Ballage will be the feature back, like, I like in football, I like my narrative to line up with what I've seen so far, right?
Right.
I want the coach to say, Kalen Ballage is the guy, and I want to be able to look back and say, when he was given the opportunity, he was the guy. If I have only half of that, then I feel really unsure, right? So, like, a coach could say, Kenyon Drake is our guy. Well, why wasn't he last week? What happened?
Right.
You know, like they're coming off him making this like historically incredible play, and you give him one carry in the following game. So if I get the coach saying something, or if I get the past track record, but the coach saying the opposite, then I never feel good. So I guess we'll wait and see. But my assumption would be that Miami will be another RBBC.
Other injury news is we have Lamar Miller is questionable. The Texans are still definitely playing for something. Going to get checked out. We'll check on that over the course of the week. Aaron Jones was lost for the season. That is going to make Jamal Williams possibly the guy. We'll have to see on that one. I'm rolling through some of these.
By the way, Jamal Williams in the category of guys that I would feel okay about going up against the Jets this week. He's a guy that we've seen. I think Green Bay, poor team, that they haven't been able to find enough running backs for like three seasons in a row. They've had wide receivers be there, just random benchers, undrafted guys. I think Jamal Williams, 17 touches last week. He would be a guy I would be pretty excited about at 5,800.
We're going to have to check on the Spencer Ware news going in for KC because he sat out last week. I think that's not on the main slate, but he sat out late in the week last week for the KC game, and Damian Williams got a lot of the touches, so we'll check that one out. The other one to keep an eye on here is Melvin Gordon, if he's going to come back, because it looks like Eckler's going to be out, but they have Williams. This is a mess.
Get psyched.
And then the final one was Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley left this game, left the game the other night. He ended up coming back, but still looked gimpy. They are already without Malcolm Brown. Like, I don't think they have anybody else. So the Rams play the Cardinals. So tons and tons of running back news that we're going to keep an eye on. Now, the two big weeks that I want to talk about and where we trust these guys going forward. Derrick Henry is now on 2 weeks of just basically GPP million-dollar winning, just overall performances. They've given him the Deion Lewis is out the door here. It looks like Henry has 77 fantasy points. That's in zero PPR. So if you want to, it doesn't really matter for him because he doesn't catch the balls anyway. But he's just destroying guys over the last 2 weeks with six touchdowns. Did it again against the Giants this week. Have we seen enough out of him? Now, he's not on the main slate, but have we seen enough out of him that Tennessee seems like their plan is just like, look, he's the guy. Deion Lewis is over. He's been so damn good that he outsnapped Lewis 49-23. He's been so damn good that are we putting him just in that upper echelon class of running back now? I mean, we're 2 weeks too late on it, so don't worry about that part of it. But Tennessee does still have something to play for.
Yep. Yeah, I'm putting Henry right in that class. I mean, decisive 17-0 win over the Giants, and it was very obvious that Tennessee felt as though Henry was who buttered his bread. So I'm ready. I'm ready for Derrick Henry. I think he's, you know, you have to look at the potential game script. I still don't totally trust Tennessee overall. I think that they can definitely get their butts handed to them against the wrong team in the wrong matchup. But three straight wins, like you said, totally playing for a playoff spot. Positive point differential now after last week. I'm ready for some Derrick Henry in my life.
He's 10-point favorites against the Redskins this week. Now it's on the Saturday slate, so I think you're going to see him as like a 100% cash game start. I don't think there's any question about it. It was so funny. I looked it up. This year there had been 4 shutouts total leading into week 15 for like any NFL team at all, and there was 2 this week between the Giants and the Cowboys. So they went 33% of the overall shutouts just happened on the 1 o'clock slate for this past Sunday. So
there were like 15 games on the 1 o'clock slate, to be fair. So
yes, okay. I guess adding the 3 more is what increased your chance of just the almost 0% chance that there's going to be a shutout to begin with. And the other guy is Marlon Mack. He's been a guy that we've long dreamed on the potential for a solid Indianapolis. God, I'll never get it right. Indianapolis and Indiana between these two podcasts. The Colts. I'll just say the Colts running back situation. You know, Jordan Wilkins maybe at times, but Marlon Mack is always kind of supposed to be the guy. And it just hadn't really materialized. But now the Colts are playing downhill the last couple games. The last game, he carries the ball 27 times, gets a target. They come in as favorites this week. I believe they're playing the Giants. They're 9-point favorites against the Giants. Again, 9-point home favorites. This is kind of right where we want to be with running backs. Do you see Mack maybe as – have you seen enough out of him that there's no committee there? He's just the guy as compared to like a Tevin Coleman, let's say.
You could call him the Mack Daddy, and I wouldn't disagree, Doug.
Good one. All right, keep going.
Did you get my joke?
Keep move on beyond the joke and just give me your Mack.
The joke was solid. I'm going to stand by the joke. I think the Mack Dad makes me want to jump for this.
I'm going to move on here. He outside. I will say that he was not the clear guy. Like Nyheim Hines still had 29 snaps to Marlon Mack.
Poor guy. 28 touches in the game, and he's not the clear guy.
I just meant in terms of snaps. He's clearly the guy in terms of usage. He had 28 touches on his 44 snaps. So that's an unbelievable percentage for being on the field. It helped that they were winning. Yeah. It helped they had a really solid lead in the second half, and Dallas just couldn't get anything going on offense. So they just kept giving the ball back to the Colts. But I think that we're going to end up seeing him. The price didn't correct on him enough. He's up to 7,000. This Giants defense has been just basically was run all over by Derrick Henry last week. Have really nothing to play for. In fact, they really what they should be playing for is a better draft pick in terms of just losing. So they've done themselves a little bit of a disservice by winning a few more games than they probably should have. But I think we end up seeing Mack as something of just an overall chalk play. And then the final guy I want to talk about here is Zeke. It's coming off a bad game, and Dallas was shut out. But we still have him as the highest overall projected guy. They're going to play Tampa Bay. We've seen their defense be garbage at times. Dallas is for sure must-win mode as a 7-point home favorite. I mean, I feel like I could just copy.
I'm backing up the truck. I'm gonna get all the Zeke I can next week for sure. I think 8,800 is too cheap. 25 touches in a rough game in Indy where they just got dumpstered basically. And by the way, I just want to, before you get too deep on the Dallas thing, Indy has the weirdest season of all time. I just want to like throw this out there for the world. Luck comes in. Everyone is just universally panning the guy. Can't throw downfield. Mm-hmm. Quietly turns in like one of his best seasons anyway. They have 2 losses on the season, and their 2 losses are like in the weirdest, or maybe they have more than this. Mack was in 2 losses. I'm not looking at their standings, but I was just looking at Mack's game log, and the 2 losses that Mack played in anyway were the Jets, where they gave up 42 points to the Jets. Who knows? And then they lost 6-0 to the Jags. I just don't. This is just such a weird team. I can't really make heads or tails of them. It really goes to show you like how quarterback reliant teams are, because the Colts used to try to be this high flying team. Now they're more spreading it out underneath. And I think Mack benefits. My last Mack thought before I get to Dallas is that you can't trust it whole hog. I think this is the type of matchup you want to take Mack in when it really, really looks like the Colts will be ahead. They've shown that this is what they would like to do, which is say give Mack the ball 20 plus times. But they've basically been the same team for a long time. And you know that there's a lot of games that have had pretty decent game scripts where the game has been close. And when the game is close, and they feel like they need to score, they would prefer to give it to Luck. So that's the only way I would temper my Mack enthusiasm. But let's get back to Dallas, Doug, because if last week wasn't Dallas week, bringing that up against Tampa Bay, I'm rolling it all back. I'm going to take Dak. I'm going to take Cooper. I'm going to take Zeke, and I'm going to call it a day.
What about Michael Gallup? Because this is a guy we've discussed a bunch of cheap wide receivers going into on our Twitch stream. We talked about Robert Foster ended up being great. We talked about Jordy Nelson and ended up playing him all over in cash. He ended up being great, and I got to say, Jordy Nelson in a week where sometimes it pays to watch the games, I think, and sometimes it can be heartbreak. We had so many drop touchdowns this week that was just unbelievable. Jordy Nelson was
still cashed everywhere, by the way, FanDuel and DraftKings.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The cash games were great, and actually FanDuel even stuck into GPPs with some of these, like the Amari Cooper performance. But the Jordy Nelson was 35 yards wide open down the field, and Carr just underthrew him. Was the easiest touchdown ever. Luck missed Hilton on three separate touchdowns, which was fun to watch. And then Juju dropped a touchdown in the last Steelers game. I was in terms of just like, and it's a testament to our projections that it just ended up not mattering those. But where it does matter is that it was basically four plays away from incredibly high GPP finishes. Like there was just there's no other way around it. Like if you can tack on essentially minimum 18 to 19 more points just on the touchdowns and the extra yards provided by those touchdowns, like that's just the difference of just like, you know, cashing and easily in cash games and three mans and then all the way just going totally crazy. So yeah, the Nelson underthrow was I was not in a great way. Now I will say the one cheap guy that we ended up rolling on DraftKings that was totally non-existent was Gallup. Now we had seen Gallup's target share go up, increase every single week for the last 5 weeks. It was like, or the last 4 weeks, it was 5, 6, 7,
including
9.
This week, by the way, he had 9 targets.
Who, Michael Gallup?
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
Didn't he? Oh, he's not. Oh, I take it back because, oh, this is a funny one. He had 9 targets last week, but the top game on FanDuel showed him as having 9 because I guess he had none.
Yeah.
And that made him not even show up. FanDuel didn't even know he played.
Now, here's the thing. He had one target.
Sorry.
He had one target called back because of a penalty. Now, here's a crazy stat.
You know it's a tough week when you talk about your targets getting called.
He out-snapped Amari Cooper 55-54. So if he it wasn't an on-the-field issue. It was just that
so he can't get open.
He just couldn't get open, or they just didn't look his way. I don't know what else to make of it, except I just wanted to complain about Michael Gallup. Let's talk about some of these other...
Yeah, I'm not going to play anyone who gets no targets in a week. I don't care how long you're on the field. I can do better in the cheap category.
Any wide receiver... We spent a lot of time on running back here, and we're going to probably end up running up against just our hard outs here on time. But any of these wide receiver games stand out to you? Are we still wanting to... It seems like we want to probably prioritize running backs again. That has been the theme so far this season, at least for the last like 5 or 6 weeks, which is just pay up for running back. These guys, the best ones are good running backs and good wide receivers, and kind of just find these Robert Fosters, Michael Gallup, I'm putting it aside, because when, you know, Jordy Nelson ends up being good, are we just kind of looking for these cheaper target share guys in order to prioritize going up to running back? Because I feel like that's going to probably be where we want to land again.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, we've wound up finding some pretty good cheap running backs. I mean, between like Samuels, Cook, like there hasn't been a lack of running back value, and with all the injuries heading into this next week, I think you actually could see something similar. So I wouldn't start off by writing off the big money wide receivers. Like you saw DeAndre Hopkins, we played him on the short slate, and he was terrific. Went out there and had 170 yards and 2 touchdowns against the Jets on Saturday. I think though that you're still going to see enough cheap wide receiver value that, and especially if you feel like you need to prioritize like Zeke, for instance, you probably will want to flirt around in the cheap wide receiver territory. And I'm curious to know what you saw here. I mean, some of the guys we played were pretty good. You also saw some guys that weren't on a lot of radars coming into the week. People like Tyrell Williams, he saw 12 targets. Deshaun Hamilton had 12 targets. Robbie Anderson had 11 targets. Are there any of these kind of diamond in the rough guys that are surfacing for you right now?
Nah, not really. I mean, it was funny. You saw a lot on Twitter of people lamenting that if you got a lot of guys that people that finished in their championships for season long got completely dusted this week because like so many good players, like Keenan Allen was non-existent, like Mari Cooper was just non-existent. There were so many guys that probably got you to the finals and just didn't even bother showing up. Like there was, like, you know,
I think
like,
if Amari Cooper got you to the finals, I'm okay with you not winning. That's my team.
I think he was on waiver wires like late in the season or like before the Dallas thing. Now there's not a ton here. Guys that are already showing up early in our system, it hasn't been fully vetted, but there's been priced down. It looks like some of these Rams receivers, I'd be really interested in them, especially if Gurley.
Yeah, Josh Reynolds.
Yeah, Josh. I mean, all of them, Cooks, Woods, and Reynolds are all, they also saw a ton of targets last week. I mean, now Goff had to throw the ball 54 times in an inexplicable loss to the Eagles. They're now coming off 2 straight losses, and they're not at risk for the playoffs, obviously, but they're at risk for some home field advantage. But
speaking of not at risk for the playoffs, what about Sterling Shepard and the Giants? 9 targets last week. Got caught 2 of them, but he still gets a lot of targets, and he's $5,000 on FanDuel to be played.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I like the target share. The weather was terrible there. They were playing from behind. It's still Eli's quarterback. I wonder if like they just choose to bench him at some point. Like I'm just not really sure.
It's been a terrible decision. Every 15 targets for 4 catches and like 50 yards in the last 2 weeks. So the Sterling Shepard possessions have been awful for the Giants. So yeah, it'd be be hard to imagine they keep going to the well. But
yeah, I think, you know, it's so early to start talking about them, but to start talking about next week, I know I kind of just like jumped the gun a little bit. But these wide receiver games at this point, there wasn't anything that really was crazy for me. Galladay was a guy our system was kind of liking on DraftKings. If you ran like the top 40 lineups, he was in something like 10% of them. So he was kind of hanging around. You know, we saw another decent target game for Julio. Davante Adams you really can't trust because I don't think if Rodgers isn't going to play. And after that, like a lot of these targets were born on teams just having to throw probably more than they were used to. And there were still, that being said, there was only 7 guys with more than double digit targets this week. So I'm not taking a ton from what happened here.
And yeah, as it gets colder, it's just hard to air it out nonstop, you know, and more games are going to be in cold weather this week. And it's just kind of hard to trust. I think Robbie Anderson, he's a guy, another Saturday play that wound up being really good. I think people will look to him for big tournaments. Bumped it up from 7 to 11 targets, caught 7 of them for 96 yards and a touchdown. And this was after scoring a touchdown the previous week, too. So, you know, he's very, very cheap for kind of good reason. He was bad for most of the season. But, yeah, so I think there's some guys people will look at. I mean, as always, if you're a cheap wide receiver who can even occasionally get 8-plus targets, you should be on GPP radars. But, yeah, for cash game purposes, I'm not seeing a lot of names that I really, really am excited about trusting here. And especially for my cheap wide receivers, I'm primarily, you know, this just bears repeating. I know I've probably said it before on the podcast, but I'm primarily just looking for being heavily targeted and reasonable at converting targets into catches. Forget about yards, but I want to make sure you're involved in the game. So I'll continue to be pretty unimpressed by, you know, turning just a couple targets into big fantasy points. People inevitably will ask questions, like even Robert Foster, you know, he wound up having a good week, but only five targets. You're just going to need some luck to turn 5 targets into a good fantasy performance on any price. So that's kind of where my mind's at going forward.
And then tight end was just another week of it being a complete and utter dumpster fire. They need to eliminate. I'm being serious. They need to eliminate this position. They need to turn these guys into cheaper wide receivers.
Just make it a flex.
And make it a flex position or something. 7 total tight ends in all the games caught touchdowns this week. And those were, get ready for it, because I'm sure you had heavy ownership in these guys.
I had Selleck.
Garrett Selleck, he had 2 targets for it and it had a touchdown. Chris Manhertz, 2 targets, 1 catch and a touchdown.
I had Jeremy Sprinkle.
Trey Burton, at least he had some yards. He had 7 targets. Jeremy Sprinkle.
At least it's a name you recognize.
Jeremy Sprinkle and Vance McDonald and Lee Smith. That's it. That was the list of tight ends that caught touchdowns. That's a disaster. This would never happen in another position. It's just I trust defense almost more at this point than
I trust Evan Ingram. I think Evan Ingram 12 targets against Tennessee.
Yeah, if Beckham was out again. Yeah, I would.
Oh, I know. That's what I mean. If Beckham's out going forward, then I think you can consider him. I still going to be somewhat high on Ebron. Because the position is just so bad. I know Ebron didn't get it last week, but I'm almost going to give him the pass on the one game sample and kind of keep sticking to my guns, because it's just an eyesore. There's no better way to put it.
Ebron, just so you know, he only had 3 targets. He was out there for a majority of the snaps. He had 38 offensive snaps. I take that back. I was looking at the wrong number. No, I was looking at the correct number. So how much did this worry you? He was out there for 38 of the 72 snaps. Luck had 72. Does that concern you at all? Like he was out-snapped by Mo Alie-Cox. Now that might be a run versus pass kind of situation where they just see
it. Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth. I think the outlier here was that Mac had 27 carries, and Indy is a very different team when they're running the ball versus passing the ball. And like you even said with Mac snaps too, like they almost telegraph the run. And one of the ways they can do that is by taking Ebron out of the game. And, you know, kind of the knock on Ebron when he came up as, you know, very obviously talented ball catcher in Detroit was that he wasn't the greatest blocker sometimes. So I don't know if that's, you know, I'm not one of those guys who like stares at the 2 lines and watches how everyone's blocking or anything, but I think that could definitely have played a role.
Yep, I think I completely agree. And if you just kind of look at like the rest of the pass catching snaps, like Ebron was not very far behind T.Y. Hilton in terms of that. So like Hilton had 44 total snaps. So that's just a matter of these guys are not on the field in their just run only packages that were likely happening down the stretch of the game. All right, we're going to get out of here. We'll be back again on Thursday talking some cash game plays, and then Friday breaking it down on a game by game podcast, which I think is going to be a deep one, because I think we're just going to need to, this is a week more than others where we're going to need to really find the team's motivations. Have to really dive into some injury information here and try to figure out what team's overall plan is. And this one's shaping up to me to be one of the trickier weeks, but that's always what happens late in the season. and we're here to cover it for you. DFSR.com/deals will get you started. Go on over, check it out. Our premium offering includes optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings NFL. You get in there for NBA as well, NHL, which is off to rave reviews for our users, premium chat, premium content. It's all covered under one subscription package. So go check that out, dfsr.com/deals, and that's going to give you the podcast listener a discount on the monthly price that we just throw it out there because you listen to the pod. All right, buddy, be back Thursday talking more football. Be back on tomorrow talking Wednesday NBA slate. Talk to you then.
Peace.